But having kids and having a business with both you and your husband being an entrepreneur sounds very intense. What does your husband do?
He runs a commercial construction company and it's family ran, so he works with like his dad and him run it. His dad founded it, and it's funny because when I met him, I was not an entrepreneur and I didn't understand the hustle at all. And I was not the most understanding girlfriend. I understand what you got to work on a Saturday. We need to go and get to know each other. But I learned quite quickly after I became one. And it's a different life. It's a different life. It's awesome, right? Like there's it's I wouldn't have it any other way, but there's a different way you operate. And then if you are in a partnership, there is a different way you operate. You know? So I had to learn that. And he's awesome. He's like I don't know anyone more awesome than him to put up with me and life. He keeps his wits
For
about him.
sure.
He keeps his wits about him. I'm like the storm and he's more like the calm. He's like the grounded. I'm like, let's move. Let's sell everything and move to Portugal and forget all this grind. And he's like, girl, bye. You already know our work is here. That's enough. I was like, all right, well, it was a good dream for a minute. But he keeps us grounded. And I keeps us, I push the
I
limits.
feel
I'm more of
that.
like the risk taker.
That reminds me very much of me and my girl. You know, we're both entrepreneurs as well. So, it's very, I feel very related to that. And we help each other in our businesses and like our own consultants for each other, you
Oh, that's
know.
awesome.
How do you manage, and we're about to get started, and how do you manage, not overstepping into other person's on other person's toes while, being in a loving relationship?
Well, if you're talking like it was interesting that you said, you and your girl work like help each other in each other's businesses. Me and my husband, we don't do that. We are very like my business, his business is his business. I'm the boss in my business. I'm the boss in my business, and the two never overlap ever, ever. That's just who we are. With that, it's probably a good thing because I don't. When it comes to my business, I don't play and I don't take orders. And he doesn't either. So, it's about finding just like balance in schedule and like the communication is everything, right? Like I'm a huge communicator. Corey has become a way bigger communicator since we've met, but everything is in communication. I learned very quickly you cannot expect your partner to read your mind and know what you always need. Like we are just in our own bubbles doing our things, trying to make it, trying to, build a family, build a life, build a future, and we have our head down sometimes. But it takes like, okay, listen, we need to check in. We need to have a conversation. This is what's going on. Tell me what's good with you. And I'm like the over communicator and he's very much like I don't have nothing to say until it's handled. So I'll let you know when it's handled. And I'm the no. I need to know the process. And maybe that's a woman thing. I need to know what's going on in between, And then when I hear it, I'm like, damn, you've been dealing with a lot this week. But you don't know it if you don't say anything, right? And I was like, I would love to know that so I know, like how to also support you. So the communication is it's all you've got. It's all you've got in partnership relationships, business relationships, collaborations. I think it's just people are so fearful of difficult conversations, they're not having them.
That's huge. But ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to Hustle Over Everything podcast. This is the podcast where we receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. Today, we're talking personal branding with a personal branding expert. We have Monique Bryan in the building. And we're talking about, of course, personal branding and also her personal journey. From doing my research on her, she has an incredible story. So I'm really interested to dive deeper into the story and get some actionable advice and tips that we can all use to focus on our personal brands. So Monique, what's good with you? How you doing?
I am doing fabulous. I'm so happy we can have this conversation. It has been coming. It has been coming, you and me. So
A long time
I'm excited
coming.
to dive in.
All right, so if you listen to the episode with the therapist herself,
Roxanne.
yeah, you know what I'm saying, Roxanne. We had a light bulb moment where we realized that you worked with, she worked with you, and you know I had a contact with you as well. You know, we first met at Afrotech years ago. I probably was it 7 years 2018? Ago now, something crazy.
Was it 2018?
2018, yeah, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn. You know,
different time.
Yeah. Different life, a different time. I think you had a short haircut at the time.
My hair was like yours. It was
A little bit taller. You had to look a little. Actually, no, you know what? It was like mine. And you had a little part on the side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had a little part, you know? And then you had like the crazy, not crazy,
I still
but
have
like
those.
Unique
the big
glasses.
These are my new ones.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Yeah, those are cool. But now the other ones were stood out and actually made me compliment you on them. And then you proceeded to roast me for like a good 35, 40 seconds. Cause you you know what I'm saying? Pardon me?
Never. I felt, you know, it's funny because we joke about it. But I remember thinking like when we had interacted, it's like, I think it was the end of Afrotech. We're both standing like near the exit and you know, yep. We just had a rapport. So I felt like I could just be like straight with you, you know, about your business cards. But also we were both from Toronto and we're in San Francisco. You know, I was like, how crazy is that? You know, we're complete strangers. Mm-hmm. We just happen to be standing in the same spot, you know? So I thought like, you know, I was playing a bit with you at the time and also serious.
Where you gave me like big sister energy for sure. Like, you're like, oh, you're from Toronto. Okay, cool. So give me your business card. So she pulls out her business card, and it is cardstock, thick, looking like a deck of Pokemon cards or something like that. Like it was a thick guy. And then I pull out my business card, and it is not thick at all. It looks like it's sitting sideways, like Paul Wall. It is like curved and it is not thick. And she's like, excuse me, what is this? And I pull it out of my pocket, like out of my actual pocket. No business card holder, not even out of my wallet. Put it straight out of my pocket and it proceeded to get roasted by her because she's like, excuse me, sir, never again. And from that moment on, I have never had a business card like that, you know?
I
appreciate it, you know? It's like a good helpful criticism. You know, at the moment I was like, damn, I'm getting cooked. But it was a good lesson overall though, you know, and life has been lifing over the last period, you know. One thing we like to ask in this podcast is, what does your bratupsy, you know? Because I'm Jamaican and that's one of the things that I definitely want to hear. And then after that, I just want to learn and catch up with you from what's been happening from that standpoint on, because life has changed dramatically for you since then. So let's start there. What is your bratupsy?
So it's interesting because my dad is Jamaican, but I never grew up with my real dad. My mom got remarried when I was very young. So my mom is from New Brunswick. She's Black Canadian. And she married a Ghanaian. So I grew up in a Ghanaian household. And that was really interesting because a lot of my friends were actually Trinidadian growing up. So I had all of this amazing like culture from all the different places. So I had like, you know, all the jollof and everything over here on the Ghanaian side and going to all of the, you know, family events. But on the weekends, I would go, you know, soca fetin with all my friends. And at the root of it, I was Jamaican. So what was interesting is when I met my husband, I dated a lot of guys who were Jamaican. When I met my husband, he's Jamaican. And his whole family's Jamaican. His mom's Jamaican. His dad's Jamaican. And it was funny because he was like, you know, I always said I wanted to meet and marry someone who was also Jamaican, but had like this like groundedness of like the African culture, you know what I mean? And I was like, it was destined to be then. So that's all the pieces that make me.
Most definitely. Now let's get caught up into your life from 2018 on, you know. I know you had a health scare. And You've also had a child. So talk to us about those big moments of your life.
Well, when I met you, it's interesting because I had just, so I was diagnosed with triple positive breast cancer in 2017. And I went through a year of treatment and, you know, by literally the grace of God, I am here. I am 7 years in remission. I am healthy. I am cancer free. But when that happened,
thank God,
I was in such like shock because I thought I was doing everything right. Like I was one of those people like 5 a.m. in the gym. Don't eat meat. Don't eat gluten. Don't eat sugar. Like workout. My husband is a real like fitness nut too. Like I was on my high horse about health and I was telling other people about what to do with themselves. So when I got diagnosed, I was like, wow, I really just got knocked off my pedestal, you know? And when I was diagnosed, it was, I had just gotten married. We were 6 months, just got married. And, you know, we were talking about having children and something in me at the time. And Tim and I talk about this a lot. I said, something's telling me to wait. Something says, wait, I don't know what it is. Maybe we just need more time to be you and me married. And our other friends all had kids. And he was like, you know what? I'm cool with that. Let's wait. And I was diagnosed like a month after that. And I was like,
wow.
Had we not waited, things would be very different because I needed to go into treatment very quickly. And because it had already started, you know, spreading. So they were like, we need to start you in chemo. So we don't have time for you to be doing whatever you're doing. So I always think about that moment because things could have been very different. Who knows what would have happened. But after, like, while I was going through treatment, I was always just thinking about what if I'm not able to do all the things I said I was going to do and didn't do? What if? Like, when your health takes you out, it changes everything. I always relied on my ability to execute. As long as I can move, I can make money. I can go make things happen. I can build business. I can build other people's businesses. But when your health takes you out, you are now at the mercy of that. And that was new for me because I did not know how to slow down. So this gave me so many insights. And by the time I met you in 2018, I had finished treatment. I had gotten clear to travel. And I literally, like, again, hit the ground running. I was like, I am not going to wait 1 minute to do anything. And Afrotech had always been something I'd been watching. And I was like, this just looks so dope. I'm not even in tech. I was just like, I want to go. All my friends worked at Shopify. I was like, I'm going. I don't even know. I never even been to San Francisco. So I was just on a serious high when I met you. I was like really just doing all the things I had waited to do. So I really started this business that I have now. So I had a few businesses prior, you know, my background's in fashion and then product and then consulting. And I fell into personal branding not knowing what personal branding was. I didn't know that I was taking all the things that I had learned from doing aesthetics and photo shoots and messaging and, you know, how people are presenting themselves. I didn't know I was taking all of that into these conversations with my clients. And someone else pointed out to me, they were like, you really should just be branding yourself as personal branding because that's clearly what you do. And I was like, what's that? So I started doing my research, you know, I wanted to make sure I was, you know, I knew what I was talking about. And I launched the business, relaunched it as a personal branding strategist and started like just researching all the people who've pioneered this industry and reading. And what was great is, you know, I built my business. And while I was doing all of that, I was like, okay, well, we'd like to grow our family. I'd like that opportunity. And we don't know if that's possible now with all the things that my body has now gone through. And we had, you know, we went to fertility specialists because they told us. So before I started my chemotherapy, they recommended that I freeze my eggs because we don't know what's going to happen with all the poison that's going to run through your body. It will save you probably, but it could damage some things. Luckily, I was young enough that my body recuperated from all the different treatment. But we had really like 4 eggs. And I don't know how much you know about this, but people freeze like 20 eggs, you know? They were like, you got 4. I was like, that is not going to do nothing. I said, that's fine. So years, we're just saying 2020, 2021 is when we started having this conversation. I said, well, we should probably look at this now, you know? And unlike with other people, we have to plan to have a baby in a real, this can't be an accident because I'm still on medication. This medication I have to be on for the next, I don't even know, 5-6 years that you have to be off of in order to have a baby. So otherwise it could cause birth defects. So we can't just accidentally have a baby. We have to plan. We have to come off medication. We have to like do it for 4 months. We have to do that. So we were doing everything. I was at naturopathic doctors and make doing all these things because the doctors told me, according to your blood work, Monique, you have a 0.05% chance of ever having a baby on your own. So we better get this thing started. And that was so traumatic for me. I was like, fuck this cancer. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. Right? I was like, this is bullshit. You still follow me around? You know, that's what they told us. So we were doing what they told us to do. And I was going for the fertility and we did the IVF and it didn't work. And I was like, I turned to Corey. I remember coming out of the clinic after they had, you know, done the first round of transferring embryos and all that. And I said, there's no way that made a baby. I said, I did not. I'm telling you. That room in that situation, I remember feeling while the procedure was happening that this is not how my baby's coming into the world. I just felt like this isn't it. This isn't love. This wasn't what I wanted, you know? And it did it. And what was interesting is I said, you know, I want us to take a break. Let's take a break. I don't want to do this. Let's take a break from trying. I'm like, if God wants us to have a baby, we'll figure it out. And Corey was like, it's cool. I was like, I'm just tired of all this, of all the doctors. It just reminds me of where I used to be. And literally within, I think it was like a month, we got pregnant naturally.
Wow.
Blew my freaking mind. Blew me away.
Wow.
Blew me away. Blew him away. I was in denial. I said, this test is wrong. I said, until the doctor tells me otherwise, because we've been doing so many tests and all the tests are always negative. So I'm like, this test is defective. I call my friend and she's like, they don't have false positives on tests. They have false negatives. She's like, well, if you're really concerned, go take another brand. And I was like, this is wrong. 3 tests later, they're telling me all the same thing. I'm like, wow. I think we're having a baby.
That's insane.
And now Amare is 19 months and literally the CEO of our house, our life, our business. He is my biggest lesson and my biggest blessing. He's amazing. And I can't even believe how it came to be.
Now, what was your immediate reaction when you saw those two lines? Like outside of, let's say, like, did you start just bawling tears after that long journey?
I'm like, it's wrong. Like, no. And it didn't have to. This was the one where it says you are 2 to 3 weeks pregnant. The ones that say, tell you what it is. I was like, nope, wrong. I'm like, that's impossible. That's not possible. I'm like, this thing, this is bullshit. This is defective. Ran to the store, got 2 more tests. I'm telling you. Came home, literally while I'm waiting for the test, Corey happened to come home for lunch. And he's like, why are you running around here so crazy? I said, I don't know what to tell you. Look at this. And he was like, is that real? I said, until a doctor tells me otherwise, no, it is not. It is not. And I remember calling the receptionist at my doctor's office. And they've known me since I was like a kid, right? So I was like calling and I was like, I really need the doctor. And they don't really do this over the phone. I was like, I need a requisition for a pregnancy test.
Listen, the more subscribers we have, the better the guests get. So please hit subscribe. Let's get back into the show.
Okay. Just calm down. We'll figure it out. Okay. And she did. She sent me a requisition and I went and did a urine test the next morning and it was positive. They're like, you pregnant, girl. You pregnant.
Damn.
I was in denial for a long time. There wasn't a feeling. I would say even the joy part was really reserved for a long time because I just didn't think that this was going to be a thing. I didn't even think we would go to full term. I really didn't. I had a lot of fear around that. I was like, no, we're not celebrating this yet. We're not celebrating it.
Mm.
We're just not. Mm-hmm. We're just going to, because you can't tell anyone anyways yet because it's so soon. I said, we're not celebrating it. I just can't. Mm-hmm. And when we got to, it wasn't until we found out the sex of the baby. That's when all the emotion flooded forward and I was like, this is real. And that was like 6 or 7 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to have a baby boy. And then I lost my mind.
Yeah, you really couldn't like let yourself get excited because of all the ups and downs you've had. You were just protecting yourself for so long, you know, because you knew that if it was another disappointment, it could be too strong of a letdown.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. My ego, every piece of me was not going to let that. It was just in protection mode.
I feel you. Man, what a detour for personal brand. In a good way.
Well, you know it's so interesting because it does relate. Because when you have something like something in your life, health happens, it changes you. You have an identity shift. It does impact the who you think you are and how you show up in the world. It does impact your personal brand. And I really began to question my identity again once I had a baby. Everything shifted again. Mm-hmm. And it had me really just unlock this, because people think once you build your personal brand or the who you are or you present yourself to the world, you have to stay in that box, right? That's why people are like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to curate anything or do anything because I don't want people to think I'm this and then I'm going to leave my job and then I'm something else. No, your personal brand evolves and grows with you. You know what I mean? And that's something that was a great lesson for me to have. I can have it for myself and now I can deliver to my clients. So I'm so grateful for these pieces of life that have had me question everything, that has me look at my identity for what it is and what it could be and who I say I want to be and how I want to present myself. So it has a lot to do with your personal brand, because people are, a lot of the times, they're hiding the pieces that make them their unique self out here.
Now, how do you craft your unique self to match a business? You know, because for me, like, that's one thing I personally struggle with, because I'm running a business podcast, I'm running a business platform, and there's so many different elements to me that it feels like if I was to showcase a good amount of my elements, it would be so far from business that it might not even relate and attract the proper audience that I want to grow the audience, you know? So I'm very, cautious when it comes to, you know, what I share online. You know, I'm curious to find, like, where you advise clients to create that line to maintain professionalism and still attract that audience, because it is a fine line, you know, especially in the internet, and in my niche specifically. There's a lot of people who are just spewing bullshit, to be frank. So I'm curious to get your opinion there.
So there's a couple of things there, and I'm very curious to know what you're hiding, because I'm like, let's dive in, Alice. What parts don't you want to share? Like, I'm ready. Let's do it in real time, you know. But here's what I want to say. There are pieces of your life. People think when you are a personal brand that you have to share everything in order to be authentic. And that's untrue. Mm-hmm. There are stuff that you can keep private that are private. You know, we're not Kardashians. We don't need to share every, and even with the Kardashians, they are smart business ladies, okay? There's pieces they share and pieces they don't. So everybody wants to, in business today, we want to interact with other human beings, people who we feel are humans, people we feel share our values, share our views, who care about us as customers, whether that's we're giving our time or we're giving our money. So sharing parts of our life that humanize us is important for your personal brand. It's also important for yourself, so you're able to come out here and not feel like you always have some strange filter over you. You know, so what I like to say is, anything you're not healed from, don't share it. Keep that private, because you don't want to get into no back and forth wars with people about that one thing, right? It's just not good for, it's not going to help your business and it's not going to help your brand. So unhealed parts of you, go heal them before you share them. And if you don't think that's going to push the conversation that you have with your audience and your people forward, then maybe it's not something you need to share. So I'm curious what stuff you're not sharing. Because here, I'll give you a couple of examples in my own life. People think I'm very approachable. They know a lot about me. Monique shares all of her life. They will say that. Everyone will tell you that. And that is not true. You see what I am comfortable sharing online and what I think my customers, my audience, are interested in. So, for example, I don't share stuff about my marriage. I don't share... You don't see Corey's face. Everyone knows Corey's name, okay? Because I'll share him with his permission here and there. But I don't share Corey because he is not an online person. That is not who he is. So there's a lot of that I don't share. There's a lot in my family life I don't share. I'll share my son here and there, you know, but, and I'll share, like, tell people about what's going on because it's relatable, because I have a lot of moms in my circle now. And being an entrepreneur and quote unquote balancing things is something that's relatable to the people who follow me. But there is a lot I don't share. The things I like to keep private, I keep private. There's a lot of political, religious thing I don't share. And not because there's things I don't want to take a stand on, it's because I have those in private conversations with the people who I am in a safe space with to have those conversations. My platform is really, it showcases me a lot because I'm in personal branding and people want to buy from a human. But the things that I share are in service of those who follow me. Period. Mm. That I use social media for business. No matter how approachable, friendly, you know, like whatever I share are from are stories and things that I know people can relate to and will help them probably in their lives. However, it's always in service of the business as a whole. I think people, listen, you can use social media for whatever you want, but the people who are like, I want people to really just look at their business goals and then think about why you are using social, why you're using this borrowed real estate like every single day and worrying about like being authentic or not authentic and sharing. It's like, what's the end goal? The end goal is it for you to get customers? Is it for you to build your podcast? Is it for you to build your influence? Is it for you to get opportunities? The goals have to run the show. And the stuff that you say, the stuff you show up, how you use the platform, those are just tactics and strategies to make all of that work. But the idea is to get people off the platform anyways and into your world. Mm-hmm. And if people are not doing that, and I didn't do that for a long time, and the time my friend got her whole account stolen, I went into cold sweats myself. I was like, oh my gosh, if that happened to me, I'd be dead in the water. And I had to start, and that's when I started building my email list. And I started looking at other avenues to get, that's when I had my podcast. And I just feel like people are forgetting why they're here. You know, yes, it's to nurture and build relationships and build connections. But for you as the business owner, you've got to be also put your selfish hat on sometimes and be like, what am I doing here? I'm taking time away from my life, my hobbies, my family, whatever that is, to show up on a borrowed land. I better come correct. You know what I mean? Make it worth my time. Make it worth those people's time. So that's how I feel about that. I got some strong views on that piece. And I don't know if you're what you're willing to share or not share, but I advise everyone to really have... I always have my clients map out like their six pillars for their content and just and max it at six. You can talk about all kinds of things. I talk about, you know, I'll talk about things that I saw online and things in my stories that for an audience that already follows me. People like to see all that mundane things, right? But when I'm talking about like I'm planning content and strategy, I'm under my six pillars. I talk about these six buckets. And there's a million topics underneath that, but they're in line so people get what they expected when they decided to follow me in the first place, right? We've made a promise to people out here when they've decided to follow you, when they join your email list, when they listen to your podcast, when they hit subscribe, They are now expecting a similar experience at every touch point. That is brand, that cohesiveness. So that's our job to deliver. And we can sprinkle in things that, you know, if there's things that you're not sure about, I would say test it. Test it, share it, you know, see what the response is. If you're comfortable with it, you can continue to do it. But we're just people following people. And I know even for myself, when I became a mom, I had a whole different slew of people following me, you know, because there was this conversation I couldn't have before with them. There was a relatability. I get it now. I did not get it then. I'm telling you, I tell all my clients have kids. And I used to be like, I don't understand why you're not taking time for yourself. Like all kinds of bullshit that I didn't know shit about. I don't know why you can't come to the Zoom call because your kid's sick. Sit him in front of a TV and give him a snack. What's the problem? Girl, bye. Okay, that is not how this shit works. But there was now, I've had clients literally jump into my inbox and be like, Monique, motherhood looks good on you. And now we can have a real conversation about what it's going to take to get me where I need to be. Because now you know the world of it. And I was like, true. It's just a different lens, right? So there's stuff to share. I think could really help bring in the people who want to be around that energy. So don't be afraid to test it. But the private stuff, don't be ashamed to keep it private.
For sure. To answer your question, you know, I was around the topic of business, but one of the main things that I hide, I'd say, is my goofiness. Like, people that get to know me know how goofy I actually am. Sells,
man. Goofiness is great. I'm like the quirkiest weirdo, like, to a lot of people that know me. I don't know. I don't know your degree of goofy, and it really depends. I don't know. I just feel like.
It does depend. It does depend.
I mean, I don't know.
There's levels.
There is levels.
There's levels. Right? There's levels, for sure.
But maybe there's like hints of it you want to bring out here. Like, we don't need another.
For sure.
Like, I don't know what the brand is you're saying you are today, but I know in other conversations, I can't remember who you referenced, and I'm not going to reference them anyways because I don't want to put your business on the street. You were like, I really want to be like that type of podcast, you know, whatever that is. And I'm like, yeah, but we need Alex. We got that one. Mm-hmm. We need the Alex podcast now, you know? Mm-hmm. And it does take some experimentation. It does take being, you know, risking people being like, what is wrong with you? Right? But... It could also have huge rewards because
I agree.
It makes you unique in the space. And if we are ever, I'm not saying you're doing this at all, but other people, that's why there's so many copycat brands out here, right? Like, they see something, they want to be that something, their aesthetic looks like that, they talk like them, they dress like them. And it's like, we've already got that. Why am I clicking into you? When that person has a bigger following than you, has been around longer than you, people know them more than you, has more clout than you, like, that's the person I'm going to follow them before I follow you, because you're just a version of them, even if I'm not saying it, right? Like, we need our version of us, because there's no one else who has had your lived unique experience.
That's a fact. Now, you said six pillars, and when it comes to... you know, building and getting started with a personal brand, you know, what's some of the strategies and tips you can give to people that are looking to really execute once you build those six figures? You know, is it just a matter of having a photo shoot and trying to have those?
Let's talk about that. I love that we're going to talk about this, because literally everybody hears personal brand and they only hear brand, first of all, when I say that. And they're like, okay, I need a website. I need a photo shoot. I need some colors. I need a logo. Personal branding does not start there. That your visual assets are important because we process images 60,000 times faster than text. So we want these visual representations of us out in the world, right? That's just like when you see things like the Coca-Cola bottle, like, we know it's Coke just from the shape of the bottle, the color, the white and the red, that's it, right? Like, we get that. So we want those pieces, but it doesn't start there. What it starts with is you really understanding the who you are, the who you serve, who you want to influence, and how you want to be perceived out here in the marketplace. So I always say, like, the first thing you start with is what is, I always build it with a business, my business hat on first, because I'm a business consultant before anything. Your personal brand is in service of your business in my world, as far as I'm concerned. So what is your big vision? First of all, like, people are always like, I don't want to talk about my vision. I want to talk about execution. If you don't know where you're going, how you going to get there? You will not know what success looks like if you do not know, I want to be on, I want a TEDx talk. I know that I want to be on X media show. I know I want to write a book. I want to start, you know, an empire. I want to sell a show to Netflix. And these are all things my clients want, right? Different times, but everybody wants some version of this in my world right now. But everyone has to know what it is that they want. So then you build the pieces accordingly, right? Because you need to know, is what you're creating aligned with the opportunities that you want, right? So even I think about it, like, if I think about even podcasts, when people pitch themselves to podcasts, yet they don't have none of their stuff in order. They don't have a methodology. They don't know how to even leverage the podcast that they're on. They haven't done their research. They don't have headshots. You don't even have a bio. You don't even know why you would bring such amazing things to this audience. That stuff worries me. And then they wonder, oh, it doesn't work. Oh, people don't want to talk to me. I don't know what I'm doing. You haven't taken that time to build out the who you are yourself. So what's the goal? Then what's the lane you want to own? And yes, we're all multifaceted individuals, but because it's so noisy everywhere, people need to be able to hear the thing that you do and put you into their mind as the person for the solution. Just pick it. Not to say you can't diversify later, but I don't want other people thinking about anything other than personal branding when they hear my name. Things will happen later, but this is what we want to do, because if people can't think of you when they hear the problem and you as the solution, they can't recommend you. They can't even know where to fit you in their life. So we've got to pick the lane and then be able to use our story as the piece that showcases, that emphasizes our expertise. So we, like, a lot of people want to tell, like, their whole story, and I was here and I was there and this happened, and then I work at McDonald's and then I graduated and then so and so. It's like, love all of that. And what are the pieces of your story that are directly connected to now, to the service that you now provide? Use those stories. Mm-hmm. Those are the juice. Those are the pieces, right? Mm-hmm. So we go through, like, a process for all my clients to discover where they're at, what are the pieces that are missing, and what are the pieces that they need next. And everybody who is listening to this podcast, I have a quiz that you can take. It's totally free, 60 seconds, where you can find out where your personal brand stands and how far you are in relation to the goals that you actually want.
This podcast is brought to you by Narai Cellars Wine, one of the only Black-owned wine companies in Canada. So not only are you supporting the show, but you're supporting Black ownership. Now, who is Narai Cellars Wine? They have 10 years of experience in winemaking. So what we're going to do is we're going to hit the link below and visit naraicellars.ca. And try the wine for yourself. Let's get back into the show.
So we always start with the who you are before we build, and the what you want. The who you are and the what you want. Because if it's not in service of what you want, we're wasting time. You're wasting your life. What are we really doing here? It's about really thinking about what you want. What legacy are you leaving here? At the root of what I do, surface, people see photo shoots, we talk about content days. There's a lot of stuff that grabs attention online that we use to market what I really do. But what I really am interested in is, what legacy are you leaving here? I don't mean 20 years, just 20 years. I mean tomorrow if you are not here. Because that was a reality for me. It was, I had wasted time trying to get things right without taking action. And now here I am, not knowing if I have a healthy day to go make those things happen. And I said, okay, that's it. That's not going to be the case for my clients. For the people who come to me, a lot of the time they are, like, really, like, desperate to put out the thing they want in the world. Or they are like, I am not going to work at this job any longer because this is not what I was meant to be doing. You know? So when you think about, when I think of personal branding, I think about legacy. I think about impact. And the thing is, your image and how you are perceived out here, not fair, but it's fact, is going to impact those who come into your circle. People are judging a book by its cover, mm-hmm. no matter how brilliant the author. They don't give a damn. That's just first impressions. And first impressions that start with a handshake mm-hmm. are few and far between now. You and I met in real life, but now it's Instagram recommended this person to you. Someone talked about you. Oh, let me go look them up. And you want that your visual footprint, your digital footprint to be aligned with how you want to be perceived. Otherwise, people will decide who you are and you're not even there. You're not even there to correct them. Like, how detrimental is that? I don't want that. I want to dictate who's talking about me, but not who's talking about me, but what's being said about me. And that's what I want for people, especially if you're running a business, you know? So it always starts there, first and foremost. And the visual stuff all comes later. A lot of my clients, I launched businesses without websites, without colors, without logos, because logos and colors don't put money in the bank. And you now need to see, after you've decided who you want to help, it's like, okay, are people going to pay me for this help? Because if people aren't going to come out their pocket for the thing you say that you do, mm-hmm. then now it's just discouraging, right? You're like, maybe this isn't the thing. Because we can love a thing, but if we're in business, you're not in business unless somebody is paying you for your service.
As Rick was wrapping up, Monique, when it comes to showing up online, what can we put into our back pockets to make sure we show up as our best selves online?
When you show up online, I want you to show up with passion and enthusiasm, like you care about the thing that you say you care about. Enthusiasm is contagious. People want to be around it. You know, so you can always know if the thing that you're doing is the thing that you're supposed to be doing, if you've got energy for it and energy around it, because life gets hard and you don't want to be out here sharing something that you don't fully in your body believe in and can talk about. And when people are asking me, actually, when they're like, I don't know which direction I should be going in, I have them do this very easy exercise. Simple. I say, if Oprah was to call you tomorrow and say they wanted to interview you about X, whatever it is, you have zero preparation, the car's coming to pick you up right now, what would be that thing? What would be the thing? And I'm using Oprah because Oprah don't play, right? If you're on Oprah, you are co-signed across the world, right? So what's that thing? I know that if I had zero preparation and I need to show up for something and I needed to pick the topic, like, how do you want to be presented? Personal branding. Because I can talk about personal branding from all types of angles. You've heard me. I'm like super excited about it. And I have a lot of passion. It's deep rooted for me. I've got clients who've had results. I've had results. Like, there's so many things I can say about it. So think about that when you're like, I'm multifaceted. I don't know which direction to go. I want you to start with, I am well-versed in this subject. I can talk about it at length. I'm super passionate and excited to talk about it. Start there. If you're stuck, start there.
That was a big gem for knowing where to start. Now, talk to me about the next steps and some of the essentials that we need when it comes to having
online. So once you've decided who you are out here in the world, who you want to be, how you want, then it's like, how do I want to be perceived? And you need to do an audit of your digital footprint. And everybody should be doing this on a regular basis. And we have actually like a checklist, like you should be looking here, 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 and here. So the first thing you're going to do is Google yourself, because there are, what is it, like a 1.5 billion names Googled every day. And only 50% of people actually own their first name result on the first page of Google. We know no one's going to the second, third page of Google. So you want your name, when you're Googled, you and your face and what you do to show up on the first page. And if that's not the case, that means you just haven't been putting enough content out here in the world for Google to recognize you as that person. So first thing you want to do is Google yourself, see where you stand. Then you want to clean up your digital house. Let's clean it up, okay? So that means I need you to remove old photos, old blog posts, old websites. I need you to update your profiles on social so it speaks to who you are today. And let me just talk about the photo thing for a second. I can't tell you how many times it's been so jarring that people will book a discovery call. I'll go and look them up because I always look up who I'm going to speak to. And then when they show up, it's like, looks like a completely different person from the photo. Completely different. Now, it's not a big deal for people, but it is because it automatically lowers like the trust because you're like, I don't know. That's not what I was expecting. When you don't get what you expect, like think about like how the trust quotient goes down, right? So update your headshots, people. If you're in business, then you need to invest in your business. And one of those pieces are headshots. We were talking about photo shoots earlier, and I'm not saying to do a whole photo shoot. I'm talking about going to Walmart and getting some headshots that look like you. Not selfies, not your dog, not your baby, not a tree, not so far away I can't see your face. People buy from people. It is a trust issue. We want to create likability and trust, right? Like that's just business, that's brand. So we need to have a decent headshot. You know, above the shoulders, you know, in your face, I can look in your eyes, I know who you are. You know, you look pleasant and approachable. You know, people just eliminate that barrier to entry. So we need some updated headshots. And then your social media profiles, guys, come on. Like, let's update these bad boys. Update your name, your occupation, the who you help. Don't leave dormant accounts because people then, if you're in business, people will think you're not in business or you're not serious or you're new to business. And even if any of those things are true, you get to control the message going out about you. So clean it up. Even if you're not using that platform on a regular basis. That's a big one I find people do. It's, well, I don't use LinkedIn enough. I don't really use it. And that don't mean nothing. People can still find you. People can still Google your name. Update all your profiles and make a decision that you are going to be the one chosen out here for the thing that you do. Make it easy for people to choose you. And if you have things that you, like if you were to Google yourself and there's things that you're not comfortable with, or you're like, I don't know how to, like, listen, we don't know what actually happens to things on the internet, right? Like once we put them out there, they don't actually get fully deleted. Like we don't actually know, right? So the best thing to do is to put out new content. And what ends up happening is the old stuff gets pushed to later pages of Google. And no one goes to those later pages. There's all kinds of stuff from my old businesses, other things I used to do. There's old pictures, all of that. But it'll get pushed to later because I'm putting out new content on a regular basis. And I'm talking about weekly, guys. We're putting out content that reflects who we are today and how we want to be perceived. That's the key.
Yo, Monique, thank you so much for sharing all these gems with us. Really appreciate it. With that being said, that's what you can control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
I'm Monique Bryan.
And that's the show, y'all. Peace.